1996. I'm in the home of Frank Pelizzari Jr. and we're discussing scouting today. And we're going to go through some of his material and just sort of see what all he's done in scouting.
Cool.
Well, what you got there?
Right here is the copies of the 37 Jamboree.
Mm. Boy, you have preserved these well.
Well,
you
no,
really
they,
have
no,
because
they,
stuff that age getting awful fragile.
They were at the Methodist Church music room for 30 years before I got them back in my hands.
Were they really?
Yeah.
How'd they end up in the music room?
Okay, because I, while I was at the Jamboree, I mailed. I had the issues of these papers.
The Jamboree, what do they call that, the Jamboree Bulletin,
yeah,
or the Jamboree Newspaper.
All right, so then while I was in the Air Force, Raleigh Baines, who's in the group that went with us, he needed them or wanted them for a program at one of the service club or even for the council, I don't know. So I was in the Air Force, so my mother gave them to him, and of course, she didn't think any more about it, and Raleigh didn't think any more about it. And then they were in the music room, and some way or other, they fell in behind a piano and stayed there for over 30 years.
Fell in behind the piano.
And they were getting ready to build a new church, and when they started moving out and tearing down,
they found all the stuff.
One of the ladies of the church found this roll of papers, and so she noticed there was scouting, so she brought them to me, and I asked my mother for them. She said no, she gave them to Raleigh Baines, and there's the account for them. Of course, you got to remember now that then they've been rolled up and exposed to the elements of the weather.
But if they were rolled up, it probably helped to protect
them. And then my daughter decided that she took them to Fort Worth and had them all
laminated.
See, they're all laminated.
Oh.
Gosh, they're laminated. Of course, they're not in the full series of papers because over the years some got lost, some got destroyed, and I'm in several of these.
Y'all use straw ticking to sleep on?
No, we just used a sleeping bag and a cot.
Sleeping bag and a cot.
Yeah, folding cot, canvas cot. Now we've got you got all kind of pictures there.
Are there any pictures of y'all?
Yeah.
Is that one group?
Yeah, there should be some more. See, that's showing the map where we were located.
Yeah, where were y'all camped?
We were known as Haynes Point. And, we're down in this area right in here.
Okay.
Because see, it'll tell you here, Region 8, Region 5, Region 9, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Texas.
We're all together.
Yeah.
In old.
See, our region, old Region 9, we're together. And,
How long had you been in scouting before you went to Jamboree?
Okay, I went into scouting in 1934.
Here in Breckenridge?
Yeah.
What was the troop?
31.
Troop 31. Who sponsored First Methodist Church?
No, it was sponsored by the junior high school. And the school board members were the so-called sponsor. And the scoutmaster was one of the teachers named L.R. Tatum.
How long was he been scoutmaster? For many years?
No, it's just something that was put upon him by John F. Bailey, Johnny Bates.
Yeah.
See, Johnny was on the school board then.
Oh.
And, of course, Jody Baker. But it was a school-sponsored deal. Of course, you realize we didn't get, when you talk about getting school-sponsored, all they sponsored us was a place to meet, and that's it.
Y'all meet at the school?
Yeah, met at the junior high school.
I see. Is that you? I noticed it said me.
Yeah, me. I see, that was a photo contest they had.
Oh.
Now there's all kind of pictures in there.
Well, y'all were pretty photogenic, weren't you?
As a troop, because we were very colorful, you know, on account of your Indian costumes. And
I have a lot of people that feel that was hard to believe, that the whole troop would make Indian outfits and go to the jamboree.
Well, we all, okay, now let me show you. I'll show you something that I was surprised that we found. Old Danny Stewart made an offer to me that he would pick up my popcorn next Friday, and I think I'm going to take him up on it.
Good.
But you don't feel like you can make that trip
down there and back?
Making the trip is no problem, I don't think, but of course.
Where are you in this picture?
Okay, I think you spotted. See that spot right there?
Yeah, that's on their headdress. Oh, I see, you made it.
Now here is our vest that we had. As you can see it, the kids played with it. My mother loaned my headdress and this vest to the cheerleaders at school, and when we were having football games on Thanksgiving Day,
mm-hmm.
Well, they would put on a
pageant
to dance. So that leather got pretty old and started breaking, so I put glued stuff on the inside of it. These papers. There will be a picture of a teepee, and that has a horse's head painted on it.
Yeah.
Just about like that horse to your right there.
Okay.
Yeah, right there.
And that was where you stayed?
Yeah, that was in that teepee.
Well, you made this vest in 1935. Were you going to the 1935 jamboree, and then they called it off?
And I've got other. Let me see what else I found here.
Here, let me put that back in there.
Oh, okay. If you would.
What were you looking for?
Well, I was looking. It would probably be in this. I was looking for this is the so-called diary. You know what the uniform, complete scout uniform for scout?
Cost
$8.50.
Jeez, that was probably a lot of money there.
Well, yeah, it was, but what I was looking for.
Oh, here's all the money you spent. Sold two frogs for 30 cents, one frog for 25 cents.
Oh, yeah, hell. Man, I was a money making.
Oh, lovely.
Let's see, this goes in another package I'm going to put.
Yeah,
that's all right. And then scouter's uniform was $9.50. Now that has a list of all the
kids that went
and leaders.
Well, I'll be darned. I need to get a list of all these kids.
And I had a small diary that I kept of the trip from Breckenridge to Brownwood, and then of course from Brownwood home.
Yeah.
But I cannot find that
little
book. But
well, now this starts Wednesday, June 23rd.
Yeah.
With a diary. of all the things that y'all did. You had pretty good handwriting.
Oh, yeah, I've always had fairly good handwriting for a young kid, too, you know.
Yeah. How old were you when you went to jamboree?
Well, I was 17. Well, I would have been 17.
17.
Because he was in 37. I was born in 20.
Yeah, because you didn't get in scouting until you were 12 in those days. And they didn't have Cub Scouting here.
No. And one thing, which I make no bones about it, and of course I mentioned it to the boys pretty regular. We kind of had a contest in our troop as to who would become the first Eagle. And I didn't know that the one who became the first Eagle would be the one that the troop chose to go to the jamboree. So I knew I had great hopes of doing it. But when the scoutmaster, which as I said was a teacher also, and I got together on my signaling requirement mm-hmm. for first class, come to find out I could give him the symbols on the Morse code for anything he wanted to put down, or he could put the symbols down, I'd put the letters to him. But when he pinpointed me down to go through and give me the alphabet in alphabetical order, I couldn't do it. I didn't know him. So there, that meant I had to change my way of living. But finally I got it accomplished and mastered, and then I got my first class scout, and that to me that was a big accomplishment. To know I was in the junior high, it took me till I got to junior high to learn my ABCs in order.
Yeah,
see,
you could do them individually.
Yeah, I could
not
do them individually, or I could give the scoutmaster the symbols for the Morse code for any one of the letters.
But not in order.
But not in order. Yeah. I didn't know. So anyway, and I've got another picture I want to show you that Jean Ann kind of handled all this for me. And she kind of grouped a lot of this stuff together. But I've got a picture that's as I said, week bound. Here's our group from Breckenridge.
This is the group that went to Jamboree.
From here.
Well, y'all had a good group go.
Five, wasn't it?
Two, four, six, seven. Well, the adult.
Yeah, the adult.
Who's the kid in the Navy?
Oh, that's
Well, it Nicks. Says here, Sea Scout Ray Nix.
Ray Nix, yeah, he's
are any of these still living besides you?
Only me.
Only you out of this group.
No, there's one more. To my knowledge, the other one that's living right now is old Stanley Kurt.
Where's he?
He's right down in Houston. He was a judge on the courts up here in Wichita.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether he got peeved off with the verdict from a jury or what, and he let it be known or something. And I think the lawyers more or less filed on him and got him disbarred.
Gee.
Yeah. So he left Wichita Falls and went to Houston. Now, to my knowledge, he's still there. As I was talking to old Robin Rominger the other day, he thinks Robin is still there. I mean, Robin thinks he still lives in
Houston.
Yeah. Now that the elderly gentleman there is Raleigh Baines. He was the music director and youth director of the First Methodist Church. He was the one that got my pictures. I mean, the papers. Okay. And here, I wouldn't know how to start, and here's old Guy Quirrell.
Huh.
That is a Camp Billy Gibbons picture.
Gosh, all y'all at camp at one
time. Everybody at camp at one time.
Well, tell me a little about your Billy Gibbons, the early days. When you went to the old camp, didn't
yeah,
you start
yeah,
with?
Yeah, we went and started at the old
tell
camp.
Tell me a little about the camp and about what you remember as a
kid. Okay, course, now, you know, when they go to camp, they'd take GI foot lockers or these little trunks. When we went to camp then, we took everything, personal and what have you, gear, in the apple box.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, you could get apple boxes at any grocery stores. And, of course, when I went there, the Homer Tudor was our camp director or program director. He was a commissioner. No, I didn't get no names in there. See.
What, you didn't list everybody in this picture?
No, I'll tell you what, Frank.
I mean, just because there are over 100 people in it.
Let me see if I can point with my... point the guy Quirrell out to you.
Here, I'll get all this stuff.
Right there. You see him right there?
Yeah.
See that little head sticking up there? Can you?
Yeah, I see him bald, sort of bald headed.
Yeah, I've got a magnifying glass if you need it.
No.
Now, the rest of the guys, now, or where I'm at in that, I don't even know.
What year was this?
Well, now, there's another mistake, see.
Don't know what year that was.
But anyway, you talking about our camp deal.
Yeah.
Of course, that's when kids, I'm going to have to say, learn to have a little better manners than what they have right now. Unless you want to look at it again. What?
Yeah.
We just put that in there and then we'll... of course, you know, then we had the pig table.
Yeah, it was a pig, wasn't it? A cut-out pig or a plastic pig?
It wasn't plastic
not
at that
then.
Day and age.
Was it made out of a log? Or
made out of a log. Somebody had taken the trouble and pains to carve out a pig. And then the group in the mess hall would go around, and the table that had the biggest mess got the pig table. All right, then it fell their lot. They had to clean the kitchen, clean the pots and pans, and gather wood for the cooking of the meals for next day. See, I mean, it wasn't.
So they didn't get to do anything in camp except work.
Oh hell no, they worked. I mean, well, we worked, and you can imagine we didn't have any fans down there either.
Yeah, I bet it was hot. Was that a screened-in dining?
Yeah,
hall?
It was a screened-in dining. And of course, all the dishes were metal. See,
yeah, old World War One surplus.
Yeah, so you didn't throw them away. You washed them away. And but the normal activities were just about like they are now. You know, as far as
swimming and
of course the
shooting and archery.
Yeah, it was pretty well as it is now, and. I'm trying to think of the hole. Or, well, you know, they had what they call cold springs.
Yeah.
Where the water came out of the springs, they're just cold as it could be. And that's what a lot of we'd look forward to. Then another bad thing they had there, which I was guilty of doing, is going in those caves.
All those caves are, well, that's a natural attraction.
Yeah, I know, but I won't tell you though. A guy by the name of Dale Hitchcock was an assistant scoutmaster here for Troop 17, which was sponsored by the First Christian Church. He and I and another fellow were going into those caves, and he got stuck going from one compartment to another. And boy, you don't think that brought on sweat.
trying to get him out.
Yeah, trying to get him out. I swore to myself that I would never, never go into another dadgum cave at Billy Gibbons.
Did you?
I haven't.
You haven't? You learned your lesson.
You said that, Frank. I really learned.
What did y'all stay in? On cots in conical tents or just wall tents?
No, we furnished our own tents. In fact, some of the tents I take to Billy Gibbons right now, those wall tents, are tents that we used down there then. I've got tents that's over 50 years old.
Still in good shape.
Well, yeah, I keep, you know, patching them and repairing them. But, see, those wall tents, well, you can put those up, and, of course, you you can fold the sides up, and that makes a breeze about the height of your cockpit. Yeah. And if that thing there bothers you, you move that back.
This is fine. Did y'all have animals or anything come into the camp, like hogs?
Oh, yeah. You had the same animals
deers,
you got now,
raccoons.
Deers coming in, and your wild hogs or ranch hogs. I guess they were wild. And, of course, the same deal on snakes and skunks and stuff of that nature, you know. I think about it now, how hot it gets now, and we thought it was lovely to sit under a screened dining hall. Don't I have to fight the flies off of you? Well, you see, well, there you are.
Well, William, hi, how are you? Good to see you. We had, we've gotten so used to air conditioning.
Frank, to me, it's always, in other words, when I go to Billy Gibbons, I don't even think a thing about air conditioning, because I know it's not possible as we know it at home, see?
Yeah.
And to me, I can live with it. Yeah, just throw her in there. I'll get all this straightened out. But let me tell you some of our experience there in Washington.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I had possibly mentioned to you before. Oh, there's one thing. At one of our council banquets, you had the flags of all the past Jamboree troops.
Right.
Okay. And I like to run Jeanette crazy, and Jean Ann. I had forgotten it, and even in this little book, you notice I didn't write it down. The number of our troop in our region. I knew it was Region 9, but what section and what troop I did. I wrote it down from the flag you had displayed down there. Well, I had it down at the shop. And so when we started moving this stuff out, I told Jeanette, well, take everything out of that desk drawer and put it. Well, she put it all right. Now, where, I don't know. But one of these days, I'm going to get from you, since you've got the flag of the 1937 Jamboree, it'll have the old troop number.
All right.
You know.
I'll go dig it up and get it to you.
Well, I mean, what I'd like to have it is the number, that I could put with this accumulation of photos.
I'll make me a note here.
Okay, well, that's it.
When's the first year you went to Camp Billy Gibbons? You said you got in scouting in what?
34.
Did you go that summer or the next summer?
No, let's see. The first time I went was in 35. When we were going to have kind of a shakedown camp for the 35 Jamboree. That's the first time I went. Of course, then those of us that went down there, we had our cots, and we had, everything.
Your Indian headdress, everything you were going to take to the Jamboree.
Yeah, we made it in 35. I had everything made. And of course, then when President Roosevelt called it off, and we couldn't have it in 36 on account of the Texas Jamboree, we kind of held on to it. And in that little old book I found, I don't think it's there that I wrote down what the cost of the Jamboree was.
No, uh-uh.
Well, I think in this little book put out in 1935, it's just kind of a little pamphlet that told I think our initial fee was $25 deposit to go to the Jamboree. And I'm not for certain, but I think the full total could possibly have been $125, because I know our troop had the heck of a time raising that money to send me but that included from the time I left Breckenridge until I got back to Breckenridge. That paid the registration.
Meals
and everything. The train trip and everything. So we traveled in fairly good... I was asking John, he was back through here, he came back from the barter yesterday, and I had asked him about that gentleman that's listed in the scouting magazine about the Jamboree, if he's ever had the opportunity to go see him.
Right.
He said no, because his hours that he was on duty down there didn't coincide with being the logical time to go see this this ex-scout that went. Of course, you know, he would have gone from the
Concho Valley.
And did I ever tell you that I've had an inquiry from a guy up in Virginia that was trying to find ashes from
that campfire at the Jamboree?
Well, at the Jamboree or any OA deal. And I told him, I said, no. And of course, we weren't thinking about gathering any ashes. Now, my God, not at that time of the day. We were awed to be able to be... well, there comes the... Thaler. You know, have you ever met John?
Frank Hilton.
Frank Hilton.
Got a tape recorder going. I won't waste your paper.
Oh, that's all right.
Hi, I've heard your name. It's nice to meet you.
Glad I could come up here and talk with Frank.
Well, I thought I was going to be on time, and I called. I'm late.
It's all right. He's getting all this stuff.
Probably give him a chance to keep his breath anyway.
Well, no.
Well, what... tell me a little about scouting and when you were a scout. How is this different from today?
Well, of course, the difference now is if when we went out, we walked out. I mean, everything was walking. We didn't, we didn't have the traveling facilities. All right, now to go to Billy Gibbons, let me tell you how it was accomplished out of this town. There's an old boy that had a long bed cattle truck, and the mode of travel was that everybody would get in the back end of that truck and we'd go to Billy Gibbons.
And they've done that up until about 10 years ago. They still did that from Eagle Pass and Del Rio and some of those places.
It was to get to our camp. Billy Gibbons, that's the mode of travel. And I know when we got to Richland Spring, when we hit the Brady San Saba Highway, there was a station there that sold ice. Of course, the old boy would stop, and those of us who could afford it would buy ourselves a Coca-Cola or a Big Orange or something. And it was sure. And you talk about comfort. It was no comfort riding in the back end of that truck.
Oh, but we had a lot of fun with everybody together.
Well, that's
pushing and shoving.
Yeah, that's the way, though, Frank, with our senior trip. When my senior class graduated, was our senior day, we went to Cisco in the back end of a cattle truck to the swimming hole down there in Cisco, there at the Lake Cisco. And anyway, it's... of course, your requirements even were different then. And they've changed, of course, over the years. Which,
what was the hardest thing for you to do as a scout besides Morse code?
That's it.
That was it.
Damn right.
Were you a good swimmer?
Yeah. Because I know old Woodrow Garrett was our swimming instructor at the YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
And he pitted me against it. Here I was, I don't believe I was even a 97-pound weakling. He pitted me against a damn old Husky football player as my victim. And boy, when we got in the pool, I mean, it got to be for real. And my biggest effort was to get him out of that dadgum pool before he drowned me. And he almost drowned me, I'll tell you. He almost drowned me.
When y'all went camping here, you usually just hiked out to the campsite. Then where'd y'all go?
Well, we had a place here called Twin Lakes.
On the Jamboree?
Yeah.
I'd love to have a copy of it. I'm glad you got a copy of it because it's got the human side of the dam.
And also, it's that little book in there about the. And there's a little book I was telling you about.
Yeah.
There's where you find the information about what the uniforms cost.
No.
And what the prices of the
inoculation?
For less than $9, you can have a complete
Boy Scout
unit.
$8.50.
Well, you can have it now for about less than $100.
Yeah, I think when John and Trey went to the Jamboree for all of their gear, which included their share of the baker tents and the dishes and things of that nature, I think. What did you pay for Trey and John? $300? When Trey and John went to the Jamboree.
Yeah, it'd been close to that for two of them.
No, each.
Oh, each?
No, each. We spent, I think, it's about nearly $300 or maybe more in clothing for each. Because we went right by the list,
yeah.
How many pairs of this, and how many
socks and pants,
and of course
t-shirt.
Those shorts and things they brought home, they
never wore again.
Never had on.
Did you have any of your Jamboree uniforms left?
I did, but
can't find them.
There's about the only thing I've got left right there.
This.
And that headdress, I took real pride when I made that. But then when my mother let the cheerleaders or pep squad gals
use it, disintegrated real fast.
Yeah, yeah.
What was scouting like in Breckenridge when you were
okay.
in scouting?
When we were in scouting then, Frank, I think every boy took great pride, and you try to get that done today, now you're going to find out. We took pride to wear our scout uniform to scoops. And
how many kids were in scouting then? Two or three troops?
Now that's, hell, there's one of mine.
Yeah.
What year patch is that?
Well, that's the 37 Jamboree patch.
37, okay.
Troop 31.
Yeah,
Troop 31.
Gee, that's neat.
Isn't that one of them?
Well, no, that Troop 31 was my troop.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, this is an old uniform. You can go by the buttons because they had the buttons you had to take off when you wander it.
Okay.
Yeah, the collar.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hey.
That would be about the style uniform they would have worn.
Yeah, well, we had the V-neck shirts.
Yeah.
The V-neck shirts.
You wore the Jamboree neckerchief with it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we had the campaign hat, which you noticed in the
picture. Yeah.
Of all of us going to the Jamboree.
I see what you're talking about.
So you got to take those apart.
Yeah, otherwise you ruin the
Well, I didn't think I still had any of that.
Yeah. Well, you probably got almost everything you ever had in scouting.
Well,
no,
by the time the flood went, I mean the 81 flood, that we...
Lost a lot of stuff.
We had 33 inches of water in this house.
Oh, in this
house? Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Gee,
sure,
that's hard to believe. I've always felt this was up high.
Well, and you know, of all the furniture we had,
That's a survivor.
That's a sole survivor because I made it. I made it.
Did you really?
Yeah. I made it. It and the kitchen cabinets.
Well, but the nightstands you made.
Yeah, but hell, they came all apart though.
Frank, you see this?
Yeah.
We almost got a divorce over one of those. He had on his shirt, and I thought it was the only one you had. He had on his shirt that he wears all the time, yeah. You know, his scout shirt. And I took it, I washed it.
And you see, that was placed.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's felt. That's
ooh,
not.
It's felt, and it was old.
Yeah.
And it just almost
disintegrated.
And now you see you wear that patch up.
Yeah, up above
it
your chest.
It almost came to pieces. Mm. And oh my goodness, he did talk ugly to me. That was
ugly
as bad as my friend who sold her husband's Aggie boots, his senior Aggie boots in a garage sale.
Oh,
gosh. You know, you just don't do things like that.
Yeah.
Well,
you were telling me about scouting. How many were in scouting in Breckenridge when
okay.
you were a scout?
Somewheres in my clamoration here, when I had Lester Clark make an Eagle presentation a couple of years ago, I gave a rundown and had a rundown of scouting in Breckenridge.
Yeah.
And at the time that Lester was in it, there were over 10 troops in Breckenridge.
Was there really?
Yeah, we had 10
in
troops.
In the 30s?
Yeah.
Mm.
But I'm sure I won't. Now this all it shows here.
What is the population of Breckenridge then?
Oh, then? Oh gosh, I'm trying to think. See that gives a list of the boys when what troop they were with when they got it. But now see then, Frank, we had Troop 31, Troop 17 was the First Christian Church. It was one of the first formed in Stevens County.
Troop 18.
Troop 18 from the Methodist Church.
Troop 20 is on here.
Troop 20, the First Baptist Church. Of course, there was a troop down in Caddo.
There's Troop 31.
That was my troop.
All right, there's Troop 40.
Okay, that...
of course, that was in 42. Sea Scouts.
I believe that's...
How about 56 would that have been?
That was a Presbyterian church. I was a scoutmaster of that one at one time. In fact, I was scoutmaster of two troops at once. Troop 56 and... Troop 18 for a while because they lost their scoutmaster was a coach and he took a coaching position out in West Texas, so they got caught without a scoutmaster. So Homer Tudor, who was her commissioner, got me to if I would take it until they can find him another one. So I went to see Mr. Bailey, who's at the time was a principal, and also he was a superintendent of our school eventually, to let me use, since Troop 31 were using the gym, junior high gym, as our meeting place, if he would allow me to meet with both troops in the gym on the same night, and they were divided up just like two individual troops, and I didn't show any partiality to one any more than I did in the other, and they both followed the procedure of opening and closing the ceremony. They took turns of doing it. But now I don't know whether that... I had one of those, and I don't know if that's the one, that had the list of all Eagles from the beginning of time.
Well, this has a list by towns of all the Eagles in
okay.
the council.
Okay.
It goes back to about 1930.
All right. Well, I see...
Now, whether there were any Eagles in this council... Like the All Belt Council prior
yeah.
to that time.
Well, I don't know.
Is anybody's
know.
Guess.
Because, see, I got that, I don't know who got that for me from the council. Then I have added, as you, I
yeah.
know,
I've noticed where you've added at the end.
Yeah, or printed. There you go. I've added the names on there as they came available from all the troops in town at that time. Of course, at that time, they didn't. It wasn't too active because it just, as I mentioned to you before, years ago, it was a privilege, and they thought of an honor to ask a scout to do or handle something at the school, and ask him to wear his uniform, whether it be a flag ceremony or an auditorium program, or to handle it, opening or. But now you try to get those boys right now just won't do it. I mean, they will if you kind of browbeat them into it.
Shame them into it.
Yeah, you have to do that.
Well, I think it's the difference in the mentality of the kids and their peers.
Well, it is.
Because the mother of one of Daddy's scouts, who's an elementary teacher, fifth grade, was talking about how the kids, the teens' kids now, if they wear their scout uniform. Of course, that just goes all over me to hear, because I know what it is and can do. And I thought, well, if she's a teacher, she sure could nip that in the bud, but maybe she doesn't understand either.
Well, in the 30s, you know, there wasn't all that much other things to
do.
That was the main thing in town.
That was it.
Well, what are the things that y'all did as scouts for the community when you were a scout?
Oh, we kind of still had projects. If
y'all marching parades in town?
Yeah.
Y'all ever have a scout band up here? Do you remember?
No, we never didn't.
Had a band.
Another thing we...
Do you ever remember there being a scout band in the council?
No. No, to my knowledge, no.
You're talking specifically about Comanche Trail?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know in the Jamboree newspapers, they've got the picture that was the drawing in the scouting magazine.
Yeah, I researched that. I've had the reunion. I was responsible for that reunion they had in 85. I put that together and got a picture of the group standing in the same position as they were in 1937.
Mm-hmm.
There was almost three-fourths of the band at the reunion. Well, what did y'all put up flags in that?
We handled flags at the schools, and we were involved in politics. It wasn't nothing for a candidate running for whether it be a public office here or what, to get the scout troop to hand out cards for him, see? And of course, nobody, man, you didn't even think about, what are you going to pay me? I mean, we thought, a community service.
Right.
And
did y'all collect scrap iron for?
Yeah, we, well, of course, I was gone.
Yeah.
But I know the troop was collecting scrap iron. They started, I believe around here, they started in somewhere a little bit before 41. Or in the late 40s. But they see, I went to the Air Force then in 41. But they were involved in, just like you see some of the old Rockwell pictures, you know, where the scouts are doing the collecting of the various things for the war effort. And of course, we got accused while we were at the Jamboree, there's been a bunch of warmongers. In the Pathé News, you know, when they would show the news in the movies, we would go to the movies and you could hear the spectators behind you, sitting behind you. They'd make sneering comments like that, you know, that we had a uniform. That's all they were going by. We had a uniform. A uniform resembled or looked like
a military.
See, so hell, you couldn't.
Of all the experience that you had as a youth, besides the Jamboree, what do you remember the most?
Well, going to Billy Gibbons is one of my highlight of my life, because you got to remember, by golly, not too many of us ever left town to go somewhere, to do nothing. Because, man, most of the time, most time wherever we went, it was strictly for a work purpose. But of course, when we went, the first time we went to Billy Gibbons was a work person. And you don't think, by golly, we were on our P's and Q's and made everybody else that were down there to do the same, not to get the cotton picking pig table.
So you could have fun.
Yeah, you betcha. I remember when they took me through the OA down there, old Homer Tudor came and woke me up at 12 o'clock at night and sashayed me through the dadgum brush and this and that and hooked me onto a rope. My legs, Frank, were just covered with thorns, you know.
When was this?
Oh, let's see, I think I went in either before I went to the camp jamboree or the year after it came back.
What do you remember about the ceremony then?
Yeah, they used a damn pen.
And marked on you?
It made an arrow.
On your left arm?
They used it. Your pen. Of course, now, you know, you don't dare use that.
Right.
What kind of blood?
Oh, they scratch it on your arm?
You darn right, and it scabbed up. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. I don't tell the boys that, you know, stuff like that too much. Because if they make the mistake of saying it to their mothers, just which a lot of time the scout meeting, I might say to a bunch of the older boys, oh, you're acting like a damn fool or something like that, but then I'll say, hey, don't go home and tell your mom what I said. You know.
Right.
And things like that, you know, a boy could accidentally say something like that to his mother, and she wouldn't think too much of the glorious leaders of his troop, you know, where I don't do it intentionally.
Who was the best boy in your troop of all the scouts you've had?
In my troop?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've had some good ones, and I've had some that were really good scouts, and I'd hate to say any one of the ones I have in mind because I wouldn't want to shortchange the other one, because where one would be a lot better boy, just like a kid, I had a kid in the troop ranking. Didn't actually, he was kind of mentally retarded, but he didn't actually make too much advancement. But he was one of the best boys as far as being cooperative, being helpful, and being, he was the type also as a peacemaker. You know, and you know how you're going to get boys on when they're together, they're going to kind of bully each other, you know. But this kid was to me one of the best as far as a peacemaker, and kept peace in the troop.
What is he doing today?
He works in, I think, in a parts house somewhere. But like the 10 boys. Oh, another thing I'm going to mention to you, that plaque that I had down at the shop. Jeanne, what's the deal with the plaque at the shop? Jeanne's taking that plaque with all those eagles on it,
mm-hmm,
to the museum.
Good.
And
the museum is going to set up a room. They're going to redo the second floor of the old bank building so that they can expand their display.
Which bank building is
this?
The one on Breckenridge?
No, the old First National Catacorn.
Well, he doesn't know.
The shop is now Swenson Memorial Museum. Huge, kind of wide-ish building.
It was a bank, you see. It was originally a bank until the bank moved into the building they're in now. But since Frito's, they're going to expand the museum and put another floor. I've given them some Sea Scout stuff that was given to me that when the Sea Scout ship Texan, they met in various places over the years. And the last place they met was at the First Baptist Church. And of course, it's gone to haywire.
but all their logs, ship logs and things like that, they were brought to me, so I gave them to the museum. And just prior to giving it to them, I was looking through there and I found old Jim Rominger was in the Sea Scouts. And he was made a bugler on the ship. And I let him look at that, and I told him where the rest of that stuff is in the museum. So he's gotten a big kick out of it. But if they set up a floor up there to expand scouting, I got to thinking, well, there's no sense to me trying to keep that here at home with those 10 Eagle Scouts, and I don't dare to leave it up at the scout house,
right?
Especially the location of it, you know. So Jean Ann was telling Frieda Mitchell about it. She said, oh boy, we'd like to have that, and we'd make a wall to put that on it. Well, of course, old Randy Black, I mentioned it to him, and of course he's in with those 10 Eagles that got their eagle. And Bill Arnott, I've had two of his boys. He's on the board
of the museum.
Yeah, and of course he's thrilled about it. Of course, his two boys' names on that plaque. So anyway, that's going to be the house or the home for it, and that way we'll know where it'll be from here on out.
That's great.
See,
that's super.
And I'm naturally unfortunate. I doubt if there's any other information about any other scout troop that had been here or in the past that they could also put on their wall. And as I said, unfortunate, nobody. The thing about it, Frank, these guys don't stay with these scout troops alone. You know, one will go as long as his boys are in there. After his boys are gone, he's gone.
Yeah.
And I guess we've been fortunate that I've more or less helped out with it.
How long have you been Scoutmaster?
Okay, I became an assistant Scoutmaster when I became 17 or 18 years old.
And that would have been?
38. And I've
been leader since then, except for the military?
Yeah.
You were in the military, what, 4 years, 3 years?
Well, 42 to 47.
Yeah.
42 to 47.
And you've been in the military ever since then. I mean, you've been in scouting.
Yeah.
Since you came back. Were you
six?
When you came back from World War II, did you get in 63 or were you with some other?
No, okay. When I first came back, the first troop I was in was 56, Presbyterian Church.
Okay.
And I had one boy as a member. And then it came up that they needed this a scoutmaster for Troop 18 Methodist. Okay, well then after a couple of years of that, I went to night school. And I was going to night school Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I was having scout meeting on Thursday. Wasn't having scout meeting on Friday because I was football now. Well, then, some reason or other, the subject or the courses I was taking had to call for Thursday school. So I had to drop it, and I turned it over to Maurice Baggett, who was assistant scoutmaster of Troop 56 of the Presbyterian Church. And I found out that within 6 months, well, the damn thing disbanded. So, but then when I finished my schooling, well, I told Homer if he still needed it, I'd be glad to do it. And he said, well, I've got Troop 63. And it was originally an Air Scout troop squadron. And it was formed during the war. And so he said, would you want to do it? I said, oh, yeah. I enjoyed being in scouting, so he got me signed up, and I've been a member of 63 all these years. Again, I'm waiting for some of these deals. You got old Uncle Dan Beard and James E. West and Roosevelt driving down his constitutional lane, going inspecting the troops.
That's when that little kid jumped, got out of the ranks and went up to his open vehicle, put an alligator in his seat. Boy, those, you talking about those G-men, they grabbed that little devil.
Was that a live alligator?
Yeah. Well, see now, like we from Texas took horny toads.
Right.
And those from Louisiana and places like that took little
baby alligators.
Yeah. we took stuff to swap off to each other, you know. And I kind of, I don't know why, but it just struck me one time that now I know why the world would nearly ever, after every 4 years that we're in a war of some kind, is on kind of a scout, because scouts from these foreign countries figured that American scouts gave them such a screwing on their swapping that they're going to get even with us. I mean, that's no good, but... You can't help it, but.
Yeah. What do you remember being scoutmaster? What has been the worst thing ever happened to you as scoutmaster?
Well, I had two things happen to me. One, we were down on the Pitzer Ranch, and the older boys were going to put an Indian ceremony for a program on our weekend campout, and then. Several of the younger kids were harassing the older ones, and the older ones mentioned it to me, and I told the young ones to stay away from them, otherwise they'd be in serious trouble. But they didn't pay heed. And what the older boys had fixed up is a traveling arrow on a wire where you set fire to it, you know, and it goes to your fireplace and hit it and lights it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I had that all fixed up. Well, the older boys fixed it up. I told them how to do it. But we had a kid that had come to our troop from 17. The kid was named Rosinov. And I told both a group of boys, I said, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to hear any more trouble of you, but I said, if you do, I told the younger boys, I said, I'm going to let the older boys loose on you. Well, here they done it. And the older boys got to chasing them. And one kid, instead of running in a different direction, he ran between a rock, it was a big rock, and a barbed wire fence. Being dark, though, which he wasn't supposed to be running, the fence ran at an angle. He ran into that fence with his face, and boy, you talk about a butchered boy.
Cut his face up.
Oh, gosh. Finally, I had to get him into town. Or I did get him into town. And we were down there close to Possum Kingdom. And when I got to Caddo, I stopped at the first house that had lights, because this was about 9 or 10 o'clock. And I called Jeanette to tell her what had taken place, and she'd alert the sheriff to meet me from coming in from Caddo. And if she would try to get a hold of this boy's parents, because then we didn't have a medical permission.
Right.
We just did it.
Yeah.
And, anyway, make a long story short, I finally got back to Breckenridge, but my oldest son, Trey, he came down and was in his pickup. Of course, I had a 48 truck, and I didn't dare drive it as fast as I really needed to, so Trey drove that pickup of his, and he got the boy into the hospital. But the thing back, when I went to Caddo, I went to the house, and of course I was dressed normal. And I had a scout with me who was dressed as an Indian, and it was his job. I had him along with me to keep a wet towel on this boy's face. Well, hell no, he gets out of the pickup too, and he comes in the house. Can you imagine these people's astonishment to hear an adult, here comes a boy dressed as a wild Indian, had blood on him, and anyway, we finally got it. It was 2 o'clock that morning, though, before we located this boy's parents.
Mm.
And, of course, then another experience, and that's this kid's daddy came by to see me the other day.
That changed how you did permission slips, wasn't it?
You're darn right it changed them. But then the next worst thing, I guess it was the first year that Rick was down there. And I came down there, well, I stopped by to see you. You know, that kid I told you was going to whip my butt and Rick's butt and Larry. Because he wasn't going to mind, you know. And so I thought I'd just take him home. Of course, Larry said you could have gotten yourself in trouble, but one adult taking one boy. He said, you should have taken the boy. I said, yeah, but Larry, I was planning to come back. So then that would mean I would be coming back with one boy.
Right.
So anyway, that's when I stopped the next day to mention all this to you. And you know those people, that parents of that old boy, kid, never asked to this date, what did he do wrong?
They didn't.
She didn't care. So, it just, you know, you kind of